presence every day of the week. Twice truly isn't enough. You get a taste of how good the Lord is, you want more. I need more. I want more. Let's be turning to Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers chapter number 21. If you're visiting with us, just please make yourself at home. There's no big ones and little ones here. There's just us. I greatly appreciate the lesson this morning, the Sunday school lesson that Brother Mike brought before the church. And, you know, there's a lot to that. We see this time of grace, and this is all we know. But if you go back into salvation is of the Jew times, and on the outside looking in times for the Gentiles, that's a sad time. And as a Gentile, I'm glad to be included. I'm glad I've got the opportunity to hear the gospel, and the Lord has made it possible throughout all time for us to be able to learn about Him, hear about Him, hopefully try to understand more about Him. But you know, this morning, I can't draw you to Christ. I can't draw you to Him. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are somewhat, I guess, contingent, or if you will this, I will this. There's some things in the Bible that God says I'm going to do regardless of what you do, because He makes those covenants of His own power. But there's also times in the Bible that says, places in the Bible that says, if you will this, I will do this. John chapter number 12, verse 32, and it says, and I, this is Jesus speaking, He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So that tells me that He has to be lifted up. I have to lift Him up. You have to lift Him up. If we will do the lifting up of Him, then He will do the drawing. And there's people here that need drawn to the Lord. I need drawn to Him. I need to be closer to Him. I don't think anybody here could say I'm close enough. There might be reasons, or there might be hindrances that keep you at arm's length, or maybe further away. But I tell you, He wants to be as close to you this morning as He can be. It's up to us. It's very much up to us. John chapter number 3, verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It goes on there in verse 15 to say that. We need to see the cross this morning. I had the cross on my heart for several weeks here, just thinking about the importance of the cross. And as I was studying and looking through, I see this typology that we're going to see here in Numbers. And it really makes a good illustration or good type of the Old Testament of how we need to see the cross. Every single one of us here, if we have a hope of going to heaven, you're going to have to go through the cross to get there. You're going to have to see the cross to get there. We see this illustration that's given to us here in Numbers. And boy, there's a lot that we can pull from this. A lot of human nature that we can pull from it. A lot of how sometimes we look at the past and we critique others and how they responded and how they acted. And then we look at the present and we say, wow, we're not much different at all. Not much different whatsoever. But I'll start here in verse number 4, Numbers 21, verse 4. Just looking at verses 4 through 9. I'll try not to be too long this morning. Talking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, when they were in their journey, they're going from one place to another. And it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone that's been able to be here with us this morning. And Lord, we miss those that are not able to be here. God, those that are sick or healing, God, from surgeries or different procedures. Lord, we pray for them this morning, and thankful for the opportunity for those to be able to listen in on Facebook, God. That's a blessing to be able to have that outreach. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray for those that are here, those that are listening. God, whatever their need is today, Lord, those that are lost, that's the most impending need. God, I don't know when your return is. I don't know, Jesus, when you're returning. I don't know, but I know God the Father is the only one that does know. And this morning, Lord, my goal, my hope is to lift up high the name of Jesus, God, that men will be drawn unto him, that people will see their need, whatever it be today, if it's salvation or any other need, Lord, whatever it may be. God, I just pray that you fulfill that for them this morning. God, I pray that you'll help our minds to focus. God, I pray you help our hearts to be open, to take in what you'd have us to hear, not that we would just do the same thing over and over and over, God, but today be a new day, be a change for somebody, a difference for somebody. God, I pray and ask that you help me to speak clearly, concisely, contextually, Lord. Help me to do what you'd have me to do, God. It's all for you. I'm weak and I can't do anything, God. I go ahead and confess that this morning. The weaker I am, the stronger you are, God, and that's what it's all about, you being magnified here today. God, I pray you go with us and you help us, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see here in verse number 4 that there's a journey taking place with the children of Israel. You think about this time in the wilderness that they had, it was not a fun time for them. You see a lot of complaining, you see a lot of murmuring, you see a lot of going from one place to another. But the people complained most all the time. There's always something wrong. And I see that in this day and time, we could pretty much follow that same suit. I see that. And it says, and they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. It was a hard way. It wasn't an easy path. Anybody here been on a hard path, a hard way? I'd say most everybody shake their head, yes. You know, it's funny. It seems like the easy stretch of the path, Brother Nathan, is the short stretch. Seems like the hard stretch is the long stretch. It just seems that way, you know. And I was looking at this, and when you look at life, the way I'm looking back and the way the Lord has shown this to me about how our life is, there's all kind of wilderness stretches in our life. It's like the Lord will deliver us from one situation, and it's not long, we're back in another one. And we're trying to figure that one out. It's something how short-lived that can be. We as people, we want the easy path. We want the easy route. And we want to stay on the easy street and the easy path. The problem is, most often, there's times in life that it's not by our decision or by a bad decision we made that we find ourselves on a hard stretch, but a lot of times it's because we chose to go the hard route. Have a good friend, I've said it before, I'll say it this morning. He said his mom always told him, a hard head makes a soft behind. And I think that's how it is for most of us a good portion of the time. We kind of want to do it our way, and as long as things look good our way, we're content not getting too close to the Lord. We kind of keep him arm's length away, because here's the thing. You've heard this. You try to get close to the Lord and you start trying to do things for him, the devil will see it. He'll get mad and he'll start picking on you. So what you try to start doing, if you're not careful, is keeping both at arm's length. So you can try to stay on easy street. Try not to make anybody mad, right? Just try to be kind of in the middle. We see the children of Israel here. They had just been delivered from bondage. The Lord had delivered them from being in bondage in Egypt. And now they're traveling and moving. And they're complaining every step of the way. They're saying, boy, this is a hard stretch. Boy, this is a hard road. Boy, I wish I didn't have to do this. Yeah, I know we were delivered out of this hard situation just a little bit ago, but now we're in another hard situation. What do you do when you're discouraged? What do you do? You ever think about that? What do you do when you're discouraged? Because we know discouragement is going to come, right? It's going to come by bad decisions we make or situations in life that we can't control. We know we're going to get discouraged, but what do you do? What do you do with your discouragement? You know, a lot of times what I like to do, or I don't say like to do, but I do if I'm not careful. I'm not one to try to hold everything in all the time. You know, you're not supposed to hold everything in. Men, you know, you're accused of holding things in, and you're told, no, you need to talk to somebody, right? Misery loves company if you're not careful. You're told to talk to somebody. So you talk to somebody. Boy, this is hard, Brother Nathan. This is a hard stretch. And if I'm not careful, I'm relaying this to you, and your good day starts turning into a rougher day because you're thinking about your hard stretch. And then you know what? Then not long after that, you run into Sister Mildred, and he's telling you about his hard stretch, and he's probably telling her about my hard stretch. You know how that is. We're all having it bad, and then she's thinking about her hard stretch. And now we're all in a hard stretch, and that's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about the hard stretch and no hope and just how bad everything is. And then you turn on the news, Brother Mike, and it gets worse. My goodness. Aren't you glad they shot that balloon down after it went the entire length of the United States? Boy, that's a long haul, isn't it? It wasn't me. Drones can't go up to 60,000 feet. I was thinking, you know, could I reach that sucker or not? I don't guess I could reach it from here. Hope the FAA ain't watching, but there you go. But you just think about things like that, and you see how from the top down, you look at the nation and you see things. If you're not careful, you start getting discouraged and you start talking about how bad things are. And that's where our mind stays. We stay in a state of being discouraged. This is the hard part that we see here. The Lord was trying to lead this group of people through what they were going through. And did you know He's trying to do the same thing for you and I here today? The Lord didn't drop us off here to leave us here to try to figure things out. He wants us to follow Him through what we're going through. That's what He wants. He's got a guide for us. If we will follow Him, He wants to lead us through. But we see here in verse number 5, we see what the people start doing. And it said, and the people spake against God. If we're not careful, we'll see that in this day and time easily. When again, you see the state of everything and the affairs of what's going on. People start saying, why ain't God doing something? Why don't God do something about this? That's how people act sometimes. You know, He's God. He gets to make the decisions in what He does. But you know, God is looking down at us and saying, why are they not listening to me? Why are they not being obedient? Why did they turn their back on me? Why are they not following me? You see, as much as the Lord loves His nation of Israel, He always chastised them for their disobedience. He's going to do the same thing to you and I. He loves us. He wants us to do right. But if we do wrong, He's going to be the one to chastise us. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Why have you brought us out here to die? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. We hate this bread that you've been giving to us every day. We hate the provision that you provided for us. I looked it up just to kind of have an idea here. You look at the word bread, that means that's a type of a gift of God. And you look up water, that's a type of deliverance in the Bible. So in essence, the children of Israel was saying that you're not giving us any gifts, you're not helping us, and you're not delivering us. That's a strong statement to make to God Himself. If we're not careful, that's what we're telling the world, that our God is not delivering us. Now let's back up just a little bit. Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 16. Did The people started complaining of the things that they didn't have. And I want to ask you something, honestly, truly. Ask yourself this question. Has the Lord provided you with everything you need for the task that you are facing? Has he provided you? I'm not saying for you just to agree or just to... I'm asking you, do you believe that the Lord has prepared everything for you that you need to travel through this life? Do you believe he's a big enough God to do that for you? He's going to give you what you need. When you face something, maybe you're not facing something now and you might not need this, but later on in life when you need that extra whatever it is, do you think he's going to provide that for you? I believe he will. James chapter number 1, verses 2 through 5, and I'll just mention this here. It talks about if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give liberally. I think most of the time, Brother Dale, when I lack something, it's wisdom. I'm not lacking God's side. God gives the tools, and he provides it here, primarily this wonderful instrument right here. He provides this here. The problem is, most often, I don't have the wisdom to use it right. That's what I face. I face situations at work, school board. A lot of things that we face are the responsibilities that we have daily. You've got things that you have to work through. Do you know the Bible's good for those things too? It's good for school things, work things, government things. I'll go there. It's good for that too. It's great to run a whole nation if you'll listen to it. But what's lacking? It's not what's in between the pages that's lacking. It's what's in man that's lacking. Unregenerate man, number one. But number two, those who are saved who don't have the wisdom to use it right. And God says, you know what? Even if you lack that, I'll give it to you and I'll give you a whole bunch of it if you'll ask me for it. See, these people here, they were walking through. The children of Israel were going through the wilderness complaining that they didn't have what they need. You go all the way back to Exodus 16, verses 1 through 12. You know, manna was a blessing from God. Manna was literally a gift from God. How often in the morning when you get up do you actually have to prepare your meals? Or I know things are kind of made easy in this day and time, but you can actually kind of have the coffee pot somewhat ready and have things somewhat ready to go in the morning if you prepare at night. But how often in the morning do you get up and the food is there? You just got to get up and take it. To me, I think that's a blessing. It's nice, you know, sometimes it depends on who gets up first. Brandy might get up and fix my coffee first, or sometimes I'll do that for her, but that's a blessing to go in, and there it is ready. All you have to do is take it. See, the children of Israel had this. God gave this to them. Think about manna. And they took their journey from Elam, all the congregation of the children of Israel, and came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Boy, they wanted five-star treatment 24/7, did they not? There was something always wrong. Always wrong. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For we have brought forth us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. We had rather died in bondage. At least we had all the food that we could eat there. I'd rather die just in the situation that we were in than to be found in this new situation. See, do we respond that way? God delivers us from a situation. When you look at it, you start into it and you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this battle or this trial. And you go through it, and the Lord does a work, and he fixes things up, and you get out of it, and you look back, and you say, thank God that is over. Praise God that is over. And then you step into another battle. Why did he get me out of that battle if he's just going to put me in another one? That's what they were saying. I wish that we could have died back there. I wish that we could have just stopped right there instead of having to go through this trial and this trial and this trial. Well, here's the thing. There's going to be trials all through this life. Let's just go ahead and be honest about that. But I'm thankful for Jesus who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'll go with you for every one of these trials, Brother Curtis. He said, I'll be right there with you every step of the way. You're going to face things. You're going to go through things. Did our Savior not go through things when he was on this earth? People didn't accept him. People didn't appreciate him. People killed him. People wanted to see him die. And all he did was be good to people. If there's a perfect example of someone being here perfectly and wanting to help people and do things right for people and what was best for them, and the people couldn't stand him. Jewish people said, he's not our king. Take him. We don't want him. Take him. But you see this complaint. It says, then, verse number 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. I'm going to help my people out. They said they're hungry. I'm going to give them food. Food is literally going to rain from the heavens for my people so I can prove them. So other nations can see this. Other nations can see what I'm doing for my people. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day when they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. You know why? So they wouldn't have to do it on the Sabbath. I'm going to give you twice as much today so you can gather it today and you won't have to gather it tomorrow. Well, that's a God who thinks things out, is it not? And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. They wanted to see a sign. Here's a sign. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. You know, when we go around saying that we don't have sufficient, we're saying that about our Lord. We're saying the Lord hadn't given us enough. The Lord hadn't provided enough. The Lord is not taking care of us. And Moses spake unto Aaron and said unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation, the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with the bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. See, that to me is a miraculous happening, and they start doing this. All of a sudden, Sister Judy, they start seeing this. They start seeing this fall from the sky. It starts coming in. It's a new and it's an exciting thing. Look how good this is. And they start retrieving, and they start getting it now. Not too many chapters removed or a time period removed, you're seeing here, and we loathe this light bread. We hate this manna. We hate it. Sick of it. Yeah, God, we know you're providing it and you're giving it to us, but we're sick of it. Sick of the gift of God. You know, here's the thing. Let's just slow down and think about this just for a second. God has blessed us so long, we've stopped being thankful for what he's given us. Let's just go ahead and call it like it is. We've had good things. The Lord has provided for us. He's taken care of us. And the easy street that you have right there, you think, Lord, if you would just make things easy, I would praise you more. I would bless you more. I would be more faithful. I'd be more fervent. No, we won't. Nope. When things are going good, then we think everything's good. And we can let the foot off the gas at that point. It's not till things get bad that we really start looking up. You ever think about that? It's not until something starts going on in our life that we stop and we start looking, Lord, what's going on here? As long as everything is going good, we get complacent. We don't look like, we don't look around. A lot of times we don't sing in the choir like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We don't shout or raise our hand or do things that we used to do because things are easy. And we get complacent. See, the children of Israel, they got complacent in what they had. They forgot the miraculous provision that God had given them even for this, to the point that they said they hated it. You know what that's like today? I just don't think I'll go this morning. I just don't feel like it, or this or that, this or that. It's easy to make excuses when things are easy. But you know, when you need something from the Lord and you start looking for Him, you want to be there, right? Don't you want Him to be there? Don't you want a response from Him? I know I do. When I start facing things and I start praying about those things and it seems like the Lord is way out here somewhere, I want Him close. Lord, can you hear me? You think about David in the Psalms. How often, Lord, can you even hear me? Can you hear me? Very interesting thing that we see here that takes place. This man, they hated this light bread. So what did God do? They started rejecting the gift of God. That was a gift that they had gave. The Lord heard them complaining about a gift that He had given to them. The Lord sent judgment. Judgment is always sent for correction and to get our attention. Boy, I tell you, this would get my attention this morning. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Where's my snake fans at? They say there's good ones. The good ones eat the bad ones. I'll give you that. I've heard that. Because of their sin, I want us to see the analogy here. I really prayed about this, and I'm not relying on some kind of commentary to tell me what this means. I'm looking at it from what the Lord has laid on my heart. Now, when I was younger, me and my cousin William and my brother, we would go out and we'd try to catch snakes from time to time. And I grew up in Bethel. I went to Bethel, and they didn't have biology in that there, you know, so I went looking under rocks, Sister Judy. That's what I did. We wanted to see what we could find. We could catch it, and that one looks okay. I've heard of black snakes before. They say this is a garter snake. I don't know what that one is. I don't know if I want to lay my hand on that one or not, or pick it up and put a hoe on his head and then try to do that and see what it is. How many of you ever have a pet snake? Anybody have a pet snake here? One. Okay, I did too for about 24 hours. Yeah, I thought it was kind of a neat thing, right? You know, I went to the pet store. I used to have a pet store in the mall, and I went there and had a red tail boa. I remember them saying, they said, the more expensive they are, the more friendly they are, the more that you can hold on to them. So I dropped $189 on it, Brother Tim, and I thought, man, he's got to be pretty friendly. You know, this is back before inflation, but still, that was, you know, it was a hefty price. So I had that. And Mom came home and she found the pinkies in the freezer. You may know what pinkies are. Brother Bill probably does. It's little dead mice, okay? That's what you feed Spike with. That was his name. That's how you fed it. So that's what he was. And, you know, I wanted him, and I was getting older, and I wanted to make my own decisions. Yeah, I was still living at home, but I wanted to make a decision on my own, Brother Dale, that I can do this. So I brought him home, and I had his little heat rock, had his little aquarium, had everything. I wish Mom was here to see this and hear this, because Mom didn't like it. She didn't like it one bit. She didn't like the pinkies. She didn't like the snake. She didn't like none of it. I had no support. And she said, Jason, that's going back home tomorrow. I said, no, Mom, they're not going to give me my money back. She said, I don't care. It's going back tomorrow. So I fought for it. I wanted to keep him. And about nighttime, you had the little heat light on and everything, and I looked over, and little Spike, he was ready to go to bed. He raised up and he yawned real big, and I'm like, I don't really have to have this thing, you know. I don't know that it's really worth keeping. He's kind of spooky, and then you start reading about him and say, you know, they get 15, 16 feet long, and I was like, yeah. He went back the next day. All right. But if you want to get my attention, in this day and time, you want to get my attention, get me out somewhere walking and sneak up on a snake, and you've got my attention. Me and my brother Dwayne, we were out walking, fishing out at Lake James one time, and he was walking behind me, had our fishing poles, and we were walking through, and I took a step and stopped, and he ran right in the back of me, and I looked down, and there's a little copperhead right underneath my feet. It got my attention very quickly. And they say the little ones, they're more dangerous, and so we backed off, and we let it go, and it was gone. I don't know where it went, but I want to tell you this morning, this got their attention. There's some things in life you don't play with. Snakes is one of them, by the way. Let's just say that. These people were murmuring. They were saying things against God. And God sent his judgment by way of the snake. It says a fiery serpent. Now, I take the Bible literally. I believe it's a fiery, evil-looking thing that was venomous and it would kill you if it bit you. It was a serious thing. If I said this morning that they're getting ready to turn loose about 20 rattlesnakes in here, I promise you, you would start looking. Would you not watch where you're stepping? Parents, would you not grab your kids up and say, no, I've got to take care of my kids? Would anybody here not take that seriously? Another bad thing about snakes is you don't know where they can go. They can go anywhere. They don't have shoulders. They can get anywhere. They can sneak into small places. Snakes are on top of you before you realize that they're there. You wouldn't want to just go home knowing that there's a handful in your bedroom, would you? Turn the lights off and go to sleep, not think anything about it. Not worry about it. Mess around in the kitchen, mess around in the living room, not just wondering about where those things could be. Judgment's a very serious thing. Sin is a very serious thing. You know what we do? We have sin running all through our house, Brother Norman, and we turn the lights off and we go to bed. We leave it right there. Just let it be right there. Don't deal with it. Just leave it. Amen. These things sneaking around our kids, all over our kids, devices, watch what you want to, look at what you want to, serpents all around them, and everybody turn off the light and go to bed. Everything's fine. You see, this caught their attention. People started dying. Is that what it takes to get people's attention anymore? Sin's a serious thing. This was sent to catch their attention. This is the judgment to catch their attention. People, it caught their attention. They weren't comfortable with it. They were looking around to see where these things were at. I think they actually probably start trying to avoid it, don't you? I would. If I knew something was that deadly and that dangerous and that close to me, I would try to avoid it, not nestle up to it. It caught their attention. You're not supposed to reject the gifts of God and throw back the gifts of God. Rejecting the gift of God equals death. You know, that is how people die and go to hell, is only because they reject the gift of God. That's how that happens. It's there. The availability's there. There's plenty of it. It's never out of stock. You're never going to run out of it. It is always right there. It's only out of rejecting it that you won't have it. But I want you to know this morning, it's here. The offering is here. The availability is here. The people started crying out and say, we need help, Moses. They went to Moses. And I like what he said here in verse number 7. It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. They caught their mistake. See, what we run into today, what makes it harder, I think, in this day and time to preach to people is people are perfect today. People stop sinning somehow. I don't understand that. I know I sin every day and I have to ask for repentance every day. I thought about this yesterday. Had a lot on my mind yesterday, and I was out and I was like, Lord, I need help with these things that are going on, but I feel like I'm a failure. Lord, can you help me? And he said, you know, if you will ask me for forgiveness, I will forgive you. You just have to believe that I'm forgiving you. Brother Ben, that's real. That got real. You know, I had peace in knowing that he knows I'm not perfect. And if I will truly repent to him, he will hear me and he will forgive me. It's that simple. I think a lot of times it's harder for us to forgive ourselves But God will in no wise cast you out. If you go to him asking him for forgiveness, he will forgive you. The people came to Moses and he said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. We pray unto the Lord, and he take away these serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. He said, "Lord, please take this away." I find a very interesting thing here. That's why I was trying to look at this. Why would this be the way to get these people to be healed? In this day and time, the anti-venom, what you do with a snake bite is if you get bit, is you put some of that back inside of you to heal you. That blows my mind. It really does. You mean you're going to heal me from getting snake bit by injecting me with the snake bite venom? That's hard for me to understand. What he said here, this is what the Lord told Moses to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." So Moses, he makes a snake out of brass and he puts it on the pole. And he holds it up. He holds it up so everybody can see it. It's not hidden. I think the problem in this day and time, I thought about this, and I believe with all my heart the Lord gave this to me. He held it up high so everybody could see it, everybody in the front and everybody in the back. But you know the problem with society today? People feel like they have to look down to see it today because they're up here. Ever think about that? I've already surpassed all that archaic Bible stuff. That simple stuff. Who believes in that? I do. I stake my entire life on it. Everything I have is only because of him. Let me say, Brother Terry, I'm not so smart that I don't know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. I hope we never forget who he is. He's our only help and our only hope. But you see, that's what they were to do. That's what Moses was to do. And he said, "Let's hold this up. And everybody that's been bitten, if you'll look at it, you'll live." That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you'll look at it, you will live. Wouldn't you start trying to find that? Wouldn't you start looking for that? If you couldn't keep your kids from getting bit, what would you do? You'd say, "Hey, I don't know if you're going to get bit or not, but we need to get as close to that serpent statue as we can get, and we need to stay there." You see that judgment? Have you looked upon the cross? What do you see when you look upon the cross? You think about these snakes. That's a scary thing to look at. These people were looking at this snake knowing that's the symbol of what is killing them. Let me ask you this morning, have you looked upon the cross? Have you looked upon the cross? What do you see when you look upon the cross? That's what I was thinking about. I'm like, "Lord, show me this typology. I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to lead anybody wrong or mislead anybody." But you see these people here. This was their judgment. This is for what they did wrong. You sent fiery serpents. And now if they put the serpent up on a pole and everybody sees it, they're saved. And they'll be saved from that. They will live. So what's the typology from the Son of Man if he be lifted up? What do you see on the cross? You know what I see on the cross, Brother James? I see my sin. Everything that I've ever done wrong, everything that I'm going to do wrong, all my failures, all my shortcomings, all my discouragements, everything that is wrong in my life, I see that. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Give it to me. I will take it. I will take it. I will take that from you." And you know what? For the sins of the whole world, Brother Mike, everybody. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So here's the thing this morning. I want us to see this. I don't want to miss this. I don't want anybody to miss this morning. All I want to do is hold Jesus up. I want you to see what do you see on the cross? See, you have to look upon it. You have to believe it. You have to take it in. It's not just for me. Not just for one person. It wasn't just for the children of Israel. What do you see on the cross? People didn't want to mess around with those fiery serpents. And I don't want you to feel comfortable enough this morning that you feel like you can mess around with your sin. That's what's holding you back. My grandma, when I was little, she called me a little sinner boy. That's what she called lost boys, little sinner boys. That's what it was. Now I'm a big sinner boy, just saved by God's grace. Amen. That's the difference. But you know, a lot of times what you'll see is until you get to a place in your life that you're willing to lay that down and say, Lord, will you take this sin from me? You'll try to carry that. The weight gets heavier as you get older. Preacher Carl used to tell me, the older you get, the more calloused your heart is going to get, and it's going to be harder for you to understand or harder for you to accept Christ. And I believe that. This world is a cold place to be. It's a callous place to be, Brother Tim. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 and 14, it says, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man from the form that the sons of men. So when you take sin, you take how ugly that is and how bad sin is. Look what it did to Jesus. When I look upon the cross, that's what I see. Look what it did to Jesus. He was perfect. His visage, his countenance, his face, his body was so marred, it was so tore up that you couldn't really tell if he was a person or not. Now, why did he do that? Our sin, that's what our sin looks like this morning. You take Jesus and you look at him. Perfect. And he was willing to do that for you and I. To become unrecognizable because our sin is that ugly. And that is our only hope of salvation. That's it. There is no other way. If you don't look at the cross, if you don't look at who's on the cross, and why he went to the cross and what he did and how ugly our sin is, you won't get into heaven. It's that simple. Not making anything complex this morning. It's really a simple illustration. But have you looked upon the cross this morning? Interesting thing about John here. I'll go back and I'm going to close right here this morning. Being in John 3, and he's talking to Nicodemus, and he was explaining to him how to be saved, and he uses this illustration. John 3:10, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? See, we come to church so often, many people do, and they hear bits and pieces, and I think sometimes they think they've got it figured out, but for some reason salvation has escaped so many people, I think, because they overthink it or don't think it's as important as it is. Nicodemus was really trying to figure it out. He wanted to know what it meant to be saved. He wanted to know how to be saved. And Jesus was explaining to him exactly how to do that. He said, Are you a master of Israel and you do not understand these things? He wasn't being mean to him. He was trying to explain to him, Do you not see who I am? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how... shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven and came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now this is the most common verse that you probably have ever heard. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to ask you this morning if you will stand with me. I'll ask the ladies to come. Every head bowed.